We good?
Good.
All right. Welcome to the Edge Podcast with Chip and Christy. I'm your host, Chip McCarter, and along with me, as always, the lovely Christy Ogle. This week, we wanted to come and talk about the stages of life for a business. A business is almost like a person. It goes through different stages of growth, different stages of issues and problems, and they change throughout the whole cycle. So we wanted to talk about the stages all the way from birth, the beginning, all the way to the end for any business. Every business goes through this, some faster than others, some stay in it longer and actually go through this and do really well. Christy, let's crank it up and talk about the stages of life for a business.
You know, all of us know the stories of Kmart and Sears and JCPenney, right? So they had this amazing business. They were the Amazon before Amazon. And apparently the CEOs or whoever was running those companies didn't have the intelligence in business to see what was coming for them. And what came for them? Amazon. It took one bite, spit them out, and they are gone. So JCPenney and Sears were really the Amazon of the 60s, the 70s, and 80s. I remember when my mom would get that stinking catalog every year that was about this thick. We would order our clothes out of it. I even remember one of my friends that their parents bought like a house from it. I'd heard stories from it. So, I mean, they were wonderful and then they weren't because the lives of their customers totally changed. And now we order stuff from Amazon at the click of a fingertip, anything. And it gets sent to us. I ordered a freaking light for a restaurant that we were doing work on a couple of days ago. I mean, it's crazy the stuff that you can get off of Amazon. And I think that Jeff Bezos understands the life cycle because I remember seeing those pictures of Amazon in the 80s and the 90s, you know, it was barely coming out. And he's in a little room and behind him, it said Amazon, just on a sheet of paper. So, and it originally started out as a shoe company, didn't it? Or was it a bookstore? Zappos was shoes. Amazon was books.
Okay. Yeah, I don't get me lying. I don't know 100% for sure on that one.
Yeah, I don't want to lie to you guys either. Google, how did Amazon start? And I'm pretty sure it was books and then it went to shoes. It's acquired Zappos by now, but it was a really good model. And why is like Walmart still standing and JCPenney fell? And the reason is they were resourceful and they were smart. They know the life cycle of a business. Sears and JCPenney could have survived if they would have changed it to online ordering instead of catalog ordering because people are just quite sick of it. They want to be able to see it.
The shift to online is what knocked them out. They didn't shift fast enough. I don't even know if they shifted at all, to be honest with you. I never saw any websites or heard about anybody doing anything. They had credit cards.
Yeah.
Both of those places had credit cards that people, you know, religiously spent and shopped there. They were the biggest stores in the mall everywhere you went.
Yeah. And now
all of a sudden
wiped off the face of the earth.
Yeah. There's definitely new businesses in where their stores used to be and everything. Yeah.
And they could have saw it coming if they would have wisened up and looked at like Montgomery Ward's. Because it was gone about 10 or 15 years before JCPenney and Sears, but they didn't do it quick enough. And Walmart almost didn't do it quick enough because Warren Buffett dropped all of this Walmart stock one day. Walmart goes plummeting, kind of like Facebook has recently. And they lost millions, probably billions in a day because Warren Buffett dropped their stock because he saw He dropped it, and then he bought Amazon stock because Amazon was on the way up and Walmart was on the way down. And Walmart actually closed hundreds of stores that year, and that was just a few years ago before COVID hit. So there's 10 stages in the life cycle of a business, and once you go around to one of the stages, like Sears and JCPenney did, and they tried to save this aging company before it died, and unfortunately they didn't get in there quick enough and pull it back. And by us talking about this kind of stuff and training on it on our podcast and in our Handyman Business Fundamentals, I just want you guys to know we've went through a lot of these things. And we're by no means saying that we're geniuses at business. We're just trying to help people do better, because once you know better, you do better. So I want to go right into it. Most people that are starting a handyman business, they have this idea that they get into business and they're instant millionaires, and they have all this freedom and flexibility that comes along with a business. But a business is like a newborn. And you have to nurture it to make it grow. So the first thing is that inception idea of the business. And that's when it's born. That moment that you take on the risk by starting your own business, you're fulfilling your needs by opening a business. And it's really you managing you. That's what it is. You basically have a job. You open the 100%. Doors. Yeah. I remember when I opened the doors of our handyman business, I was like, this is it. We're going to have this freedom and flexibility. But it took a while for that income and profitability to come along. Even though we were the ones doing the jobs, we had to figure out that perfect point and that perfect job that bring in the best amount of money. So it's really, your business is born, it starts to take shape, and then you move on to the infancy. This is a race for survival. This is where maybe you hire your first person. It's you, Inc. So you and somebody else, you're running the business, but your focus is on production. It's on doing the job. It's on servicing the customer, taking care of their needs. And in the infancy of a business, cash flow can be a real problem. And I've seen it. We were there.
Mm-hmm. Networking is a super important part of infancy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Getting out there and networking and meeting people and being available to try to connect to your community.
Yeah. And Chip is great at networking. I actually met him in person. We'd met before that online. On Facebook, he interviewed me. But our first real meeting was at a networking meeting. I think it was online too, wasn't it, Chip?
It might have been Zoom. I think our first one was Zoom. But the Waco chapter was still meeting in person.
Yeah.
And that's what I joined. Yeah.
Yeah, and that got his foot in the door with several customers. I remember that very first time I went to a networking meeting. I think it was a BNI. And I wrote a check for about $1,000, which I don't recommend to a new business. But it was me, Inc., right? Me and my husband, Inc. And we had to get customers coming in the door. So I wrote a $1,000 check where I put $1,000 on the credit card for BNI. Yes, it is that expensive. Yes, there were additional fees, but yes, it was worth it because I wrote this check I put it on the Amex back in the day. And I prayed and prayed before that Amex bill came that we could pay that with the jobs that came in. And we did. Within a week or two, we had several deep cleans and handyman jobs that paid for it. But that is a scary thing in the beginning of business is cash flow.
Yeah, you have to get out there, though. You have to get out of your comfort zone, and you have to just get out there and meet everybody, and don't feel like you're repeating yourself too much, because you need to. You got to get it through other people's heads of what you do, or else they'll never know, and they'll never use you. So
yeah.
But yeah, that infancy part is a struggle, man. That's when you're out there really struggling and hitting the streets.
Yeah, your business then starts to walk and talk and grow a little bit. Maybe you're starting to build somewhat of a management team, but the entire business really is on you, and you're the one that make the decisions. But in this piece of your business, it's kind of like the growth of a toddler, right? Where they're just from zero to that's how your business is. Everything's accelerated. Now, cash flow is still a little bit of a concern, but your management is really by crisis. And I've talked to people that have been in business 20 or 30 years, and they're still in the toddler phase of their business because it's still putting out fires. They're managing from crisis to crisis to crisis and never really work on building or growing or aging that business in the life cycle. Because if you can't get out of that toddler infancy birth mentality, that's where your business is going to be stuck.
Yeah, you have to act, you know, proactively, not necessarily just always reactively, you know, because if you just are always having to react instead of actually, you know, preparing for the issues that could come up. That's all it is just looking in at all the options that could happen and preparing for every single one of them.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between the success stories and the people who don't make it.
Yeah. And I mean, I have adult children now. So the least fun in the life cycle of my children was the teenage years. You're getting ready to go there with Jack, Chip. May the odds ever be in your favor.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely in trouble, no doubt.
This is where crisis is really started from management. You'll start to develop that personal team. You're going to manage the business. Cash flow might not be much of a problem at this point, but they're growth focused. That's where a lot of our people come into Handyman Business Fundamentals, is they want to grow their business and they want to grow it quickly. And to be able to grow it and stand out from everybody else that's in the handyman business, you actually have to innovate your handyman business. And that's one thing that we've been training on, is putting that residual income into some handyman's businesses over the last couple of weeks with our training. And the leaders are usually rah, rah, go, go. And maybe they're too busy to attend those meetings now about the growth of their business. Sometimes, and I was one of these, Chip, I became overconfident. And you know what? Trouble was lurking because I didn't know everything about my business. It's kind of like a teenager. They think they're invincible. They think they know everything. And my first go-around business, I felt that way. And you know what? It bit me in the ass. Yeah. But now I'm better because of it. Yeah. I paid hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in the stupid tax and being a teenager. But that's a thing in business. And here's the thing. You might think, I'll just go from birth to the zone of maximization. It doesn't go that way. It's kind of like the seasons in life. You have to go through every season before you can get to spring and summer, right? You can't just go from winter to fall. Doesn't work that way. You have to go through the seasons, and the life cycle of a business is the same. Some people will go, well, I didn't go through that phase. Yeah, you did. You just didn't realize it.
Yeah. Yeah, or didn't remember it because you were hustling so much and didn't have much time to spare.
Yeah.
You were working on your business so much. Yeah.
Yeah, you reflect on it and then you go from there. The next stage, young adult. This is where you're starting to really anticipate the future. You're making committed decisions in your handyman business. Your focus is on growth and standards, usually at this point, and systems. And you really are redefining what long-term success of as. And you'll sometimes rebirth your identity of the business, and you're ready to settle down and really get serious about it.
Yeah. That's when you just decide to figure out how to get that residual income, figure out how to scale up to that next level. Not necessarily have to be the one that answers the phone, makes the calls, does the jobs, takes the money, does the marketing, does the sales, you know, you realize you can start growing.
Yeah.
And becoming the adult, right?
Yeah. And then you get into this zone of maximization, this zone of maturity. It's like your business has gotten there and it's starting to kind of level off and you've got these amazing profits. You're starting to reap the rewards of freedom and flexibility. You've got systems in place, which is what we train in handyman business and fundamentals, instead of just going by the seat of your pants. You're serving yourself and your customers in this amazing way. Your business is run by a management team, and your organization knows who they are and where they're going. Sales and profits are skyrocketing at this point. But the thing about it is, if you don't innovate and keep going during the zone of maximization, it starts to go on over to midlife. And this has happened to Apple several times. Remember when Apple mm-hmm. first came out, it was the PCs, the personal computers. And then I believe it was IBM came in and started to kind of push them out. And Apple was on the free fall. Steve Jobs was fired. They brought in a CEO from Pepsi, and Apple stocks just kept declining and declining and declining. But they realized that they started to age in the business, and Apple actually almost started to get institutionalized, which very few businesses can ever come back from. But Steve Jobs came back. He brought in that innovation, and he came up with that little iPod that you put 1,000 songs in your pocket. Do you remember those, Chip?
Yeah, I've had a few of them.
Yeah, I mean, I had the little one, I had the middle-sized one, and then I actually got one when I was on The View, and they gave me a whole brand new one, which was awesome, but they're not around anymore. But you could have all these songs in your pocket. So Apple went from personal computers, which was 100% of their business, to now PCs like this are only 13% of Apple's business now. Now it's iPhones and iPads. These are things that they innovated, and they kept Apple and are keeping Apple in this zone of maximization. That's why it's one of the first trillion, yes, trillion with a T, dollar businesses. So Steve Jobs was smart enough, and the CEO, Tim, now of Apple, knows that they have to keep innovating and bringing new things in, or they're going to die. And they don't want them to.
Happens.
Yeah. So he actually saved Apple from the death, which is when there's no longer anything that's sustainable. The vision is gone. Yeah. There's no people to support. Exactly. Exactly.
It's now called Blockbuster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were huge and everywhere. You still see buildings that you can tell, oh, yeah, that was a Blockbuster. You
know? Yeah.
But they're ghosts.
Yeah. I think there's one left. I think there's a series on Netflix that's called The Last Blockbuster. And I thought it closed, especially with COVID, you know. But I saw somebody on YouTube the other day that's like, I'm at the last Blockbuster. So I think they're still around.
So they're not all the way dead yet.
Yeah. I mean, you could look at it and you could tell, like, Kmart was here. You can see, you know, Sears was here, and they didn't bring it back in. So, of course, they died.
And you know what? Target started disappearing for a little bit, and then they kind of bounced back.
Yes.
In a big way.
Yes. Know? Yes. And now Target's like the creme of the... They revamped themselves, and, you know, Walmart's kind of the knockoff stuff, and Target's the creme of the creme, right? It's more towards... Yeah. Target is geared more towards millennials than Walmart is, which is very smart marketing.
It's supposed to be a little bit more bougie. Yeah.
Yeah. Bougie. Yeah, you're right.
Better than Walmart.
Yeah.
Not much, but a little bit.
Yeah, and so as a business owner, as a handyman business owner, you need to be able to know that there's different stages in the life cycle of a business and start to see it. Because I know with mine, it started to age and Max and I had to bring it back out. And we're still not back to that zone yet, but we will be there eventually because I know that the things that we need to do, those systems that are put in place to get them there. So, I mean, it's good to be aware of this stuff. You can know it all day long, but you actually have to implement it. And I did all these things. I had the wrong management team. I had the wrong business partners. Cash flow was an issue. I thought I could get bigger and that would solve the problems, but it actually just made the problems a little bit bigger and a lot more to deal with. So now that I am aware of these things, I can help rebuild my businesses to get to those zones of maximization.
Nice. Yeah, for sure. And you just have to keep an eye on your business. Once you get to that zone of maximization, you have to be willing to adapt and move forward in case things change. I mean, for one, right now, if you're not online, you're doing something. If you're being successful and you're not online right now, I would love to talk to you and hear what you're doing, because you have to be online now. And there's so many different ways to do it, so many amazing free platforms, and then inexpensive all the way to expensive. You know, there's ways to market and run a business online, but you just have to be willing to go to that next thing, that new thing that everybody's doing, because that's what happens to these businesses. They weren't willing to accept the internet was just blowing up is really what happened to a lot of these businesses.
Yeah, and that's one thing Walmart really resisted when the internet came along. That's what they did that almost killed Walmart, was they didn't go online fast enough. They thought Amazon was just a phase, right? And they couldn't anticipate COVID was going to happen, even though that really helped Walmart with the profits, because that's the only place we could really shop for a couple of years, right? Because a lot of them were closed. But they didn't get online quick enough. And when they did get online, Amazon was already 10 or 15 years ahead of them with the online game. And still, there's not many user-friendly websites out there like Amazon is, where you can go in there and you can instantly track it and you can instantly know where your order's coming from and you can see everything. Like, Walmart's great, but it's still not the years ahead that Amazon was, so it's still playing a little bit of catch-up. But the difference between Amazon and Walmart, Walmart's profitable. Amazon has never been profitable. So, still to this day, it's millions of dollars in the red every year. But Jeff Bezos knows it will eventually be profitable.
Yeah, it will eventually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, those are some things that you've got to know too. And I mean, if you've got enough venture capitalists that can help you stay afloat, that's okay. But most handymen don't have that luxury.
No. Yeah. Most of them, it's their own pockets. So
yep.
That's why it's easy to get stuck in those teen years where you're kind of the only one hustling, that doing the jobs and living, you know, job to job. It's not like paycheck to paycheck, but it is job to job. And every time you get paid, you know, you're just looking for that. It's once you start figuring out that how to bring in that residual monthly income, that you can start relaxing, taking a step back and actually managing your business instead of letting it run you.
Exactly. If you never get past being the guy in the truck, you never have anything really past you having a job, a job. It's you, Inc. If you don't ever hire anybody, if you don't have people that are doing the work for you and you're managing the business and eventually get a management team, you have a job, just over broke, because something happens to you, you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got to really think about the life cycle of a business and know where you want to go with your business. I mean, if you're 20 years in and it's still you, Inc., it's time to take a different path and join us with Handyman Business Fundamentals. We'd love to help you take it to the next level and get in that zone and stay in that zone for a really long time.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely would love to help you. Christy, anything else on the stages of life?
No, we just wanted to touch on it today so you guys could kind of see it. We'll go more in depth of it in the near future. But do know there's a life cycle to your business, just like there's a life cycle to your kiddos and you.
Yeah, for sure. And look at your local businesses. You can watch, you'll see, you know, some of the businesses that were around when you were a kid aren't there anymore. Some of them have adapted and changed and are doing well. So you just look around. You'll see the life cycle in all the other businesses around you, as well as yours. For now, we love you. Stay safe. And this has been the Edge Podcast with Chip and Christy.
You guys have a great day. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.